All right, today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Beit. We were getting right into the sugya of these Pat Haba B'Kisnin. So I think we mentioned yesterday that it would be a good idea to just go through briefly what the particular halachas are, the different halachas. And poor Naftali has joined us today after his fabulous cruise to New Zealand. It must be pretty tough being back and having to go to work and so on. So therefore, this daf yomi is going to keep him going for the day. So we've got various approaches in the Pat Haba B'Kisnin sugya. Rashi, remember, learned yesterday that Pat Haba B'Kisnin is a reference to these kisnin, are these sweet grains that you parch. So something like our puffed wheat. And it would be brought together with a bread that was sweetened. The dough was sweetened, it was also spiced, and so on. Now, that's very similar to the Rambam's pshat of Pat Haba B'Kisnin, which is the idea of cake. Cake means that the batter is flavored. So you put in honey or chocolate or whatever it is into the batter, and that's what defines a cake as opposed to a bread. And obviously, that's not the kind of thing that you're going to use to make a fish sandwich or a meat sandwich with. And therefore, it does not have a din of pot. Now, there are also other pirushim, Pat Haba B'Kisnin, particularly the Sfardim are very makbid, which is Rav Haigon's pshat, which is brought by the Beis Yosef, and that is that it has to do with the tsura of the Nahama. There's a question what it looks like, which is why the Sfardim do not say a Birchas Hamotzi on what Ashkenazim call matzah, because those are crackers, those are not breads. And so, in general, when you've got these thin crackers or pretzels, they may have the same ingredient as bread, but they're not generally used for a su'udah, and therefore they don't have the chashivas of bread. During Pesach, obviously, the Sfardim are mevorech hamotzi lechem min haaretz on it because of the fact that that is the kviyas of the su'udah during Pesach. The Ashkenazim, however, because they're noeg to eat all year round, they eat matzahs, shalashudas, and so on. So for them, it's not considered to be a tsura that isn't bread. But on the other end, when it comes to like pretzels and so on, even though the batter may be the same, it's not considered to be pas even according to them. Then we also have the pshat of the Oruch Pat Haba B'Kisnin, which uses the word kisnin not to mean sweetened grain, but rather kisnin to mean literally pockets. And what that means is that when something is made inside of a pocket, like the pasta that you fill it up with cheese. What's that called again? Ravioli, yeah. So like a ravioli or a Danish. It's also like a little pocket, you know. Or the most common, of course, is a pie. So a pie is basically you might even use a bread dough, and you put it around all of these fruits and things. So you've got a kiss. You have a pocket. And over there, since it's made to eat that way, we don't see it as pot. Even if you take out all of the filling and you only eat the outside of the pie, it would still be considered to be Pat Haba B'Kisnin. Now, remember also that according to Rashi, the Pat Haba B'Kisnin, he understood that it was brought after Birkat HaMazon and that there was no brocha at all that was kavua acharav, only a bar nefashas. Now, that is Rashi's own approach. Nobody buys into that approach. They understand that the Pat Haba B'Kisnin is a reference to the requirement for a brocha achas being sholosh as opposed to a birkat hamazon. So anyway, taking that into consideration today, we find that Rav Huna, this is the first line of Membeis Amud Aleph, Rav Huna ate 13 of these gigantic cakes. These things had so much flour in them that there was actually, each one of them was three of them to a kav. Now, a kav is 24 beitzim, which is unbelievable, which means that each bread over here was basically 8 beitzim. Now, we paskin at a kviya suda, I mean, the biggest shita that we have is 7 beitzim. And over here, if you put all of them together, he ate over 100, which is sort of a kviya suda, you would think, right? Velo borek, and he didn't make a brocha afterwards. According to Rashi, this could be, he didn't even say a brocha asbin and shalash. But pashtas, it means he didn't say birkas hamazon afterwards. So Rabbi Nachman said, oh my God, adi kafna, that is what I call a hungry man. And you're making a big mistake because, you know, the din is not defined by a person's personal feeling satisfied. It's kol she'acherim kovim alav su'uda tzarech levarech. If other people eating this much would be actually be koveya their su'uda on it, then even to you who does not feel so happy and you're still ready for another 100 of them, that still does not part to you from birkat hamazon. Rav Yehuda ve'osikli livrei be Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. So Rav Yehuda wanted his son to marry the daughter of Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, and they brought out at the su'udah, at the engagement su'udah, Aitila kamaya pata baba kisni. So when Rav Yehuda shows up, he hears everybody saying hamotzi, and he was very shocked. Amarlohu, what's all of this tzitzi jazz that I hear around here? What's tzitzi? I mean, I'm sure nobody's dumb enough to be making hamotzi out of this stuff, right? I mean, dilma hamotzi lechem in haaretz kama varchitu. I mean, that's outrageous. This is pata baba kisni. Omarle, yes, we are, and we have a very good source. The Tanya, Rabbi Muna Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, that pata baba kisnin mivorchen alav hamotzi. And actually, Shmuel paskin like that. We go according to Shmuel in these parts, man. And Shmuel said, alokik Rabbi Muna. Omarle, Rabbi Yehuda said to them, well, it's very nice that you go according to Shmuel, but I got news for you. What Shmuel said was, ain alokik Rabbi Muna, and I ought to know. And therefore, you cannot. Omar Lehi. So they said to him, but you were the one who said, B'shmei de Shmuel, that you're allowed to make an Eruv with lachmaniyot. Now, lachmaniyot do not mean what we call lachmaniyot, that they're really rolls. They're a type of bat habobikisnim, and it's not exactly clear what makes them bat habobikisnim. It's mashman that they were made with a very thin batter that was allowed afterwards to harden. And Rashi's machalik between it and between kachin that we had before. So it's not the shape of bread, and it's not the normal thick dough of bread. And therefore, it ought to be one of the pata baba kisnim dinim and not be usable for an Erev. And over here, Shmuel Paskin, you can use it for an Erev, and you actually would be mevorach lehem hamotzi lechem min haaretz, which would mean that you would say birchat hamazon. And Rav Yehuda said, well, yes, but Shmuel was talking about specifically a case where you were koveya the su'uda, but over here you weren't koveya the su'uda. You're serving these as hors d'oeuvres. Why is everybody saying a hamotzi? Okay. Rav Papa Ikalei Ravuna, Berei the Rav Nasan, he came to visit Ravuna and Bosu to Gomer Su'uda Tayu. They finish the meal and they bring out something else to eat. So Rav Papa, he picks it up and he starts eating it. So they said to Rav Papa, why are you eating? Lo savalamar gomar asur milechol. Once you've finished eating, you're not allowed to pick up something to eat that you weren't planning on eating. Amar lahu, no, I think that you're wrong. That is not the correct girsa. The correct girsa is silek. If the lechem and the food was taken off the table, or you were misalek the table itself, which was the minig of those days, that's when you're not allowed to eat. Rav and Rabbi Zera came once to the home of the Reish Galusa, and Labosa de Slika Taka Mikamayu, they actually had removed the personal tables, which they used in those days, next to their couches. So they had taken away the table, which Lechora even fits Rav Papa's requirements, right? All of a sudden, they bring in the steak that came from the Reish Galusa, from his own home. He apparently was eating in his own home, and he was very mechabed them, and he sent him from his own Suda. And Rava ate it, and Rabbi Zera didn't eat it. So Rabbi Zera said to Rava, how come you're eating? Lo sav lamar silek asur milechol. And they took away the table. Omar Lei, Rava said to him, no, because that's not our table. Because we are special guests of the Reish Galusa, for all intents and purposes, we are sitting at the table of the Reish Galusa. And if he's still eating and he sends us stuff, I'm wide open to whatever he's sending, man. And therefore, I'm eating. Omar Rav. A ragil b'shemen, somebody who normally would wash his fingers with oil afterwards to clean them, then as long as he hasn't done that yet, the shemen makavaton is considered to be in the middle of his su'udah. Omer Ravashi gavinu b'rif kahana omarlan, that anybody like us, kagonana de ragilim b'mishka, we always wash off our fingers with a little bit of oil before my machronim. The mishka is ba'akfalan, and until we do that, we're still in the middle of the meal, and we don't paskin like any of the above, not the silek, and not the gamar, and not the mashcha, but instead we paskin kiyodan rebukhiya barashi amarav. The only thing that completes the su'uda is the mayim acharonim. And there are three dinim in which you must follow one thing with another thing immediately. Shalosh tkifoten. Immediately after smicha comes shkita, because it says v'samach v'shachat. Tekev l'geula, tefillah. No interruptions between the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael and the beginning of your Amidah. And the other one is, tekev l'netilat yadayim bracha. So immediately following the netilat yadayim at the end of the Seudah is Birkat HaMazon, and some apply this to the netilat yadayim at the beginning of the Seudah. No hefsek between the netilat yadayim to the Birkat HaMotzi, and the shear of the hefsek over there is the shear of 22 amas to Akom Rabbi. I'll add, Afana Nomar, you want to talk about tekef? I'll tell you something. Tekef l'tamid chachomi bracha. Somebody who brings the Talmud Chacham into his life is zoche immediately to a bracha. Shenemar, because Lavan says to Yaakov, Nichashti ve'evorcheni Hashem biglalecha. I understand that all of the brachas that came into my life came only from the minute that you arrived. Or there's another place, Yiboyseim Amiyacha. Shenemar ve'evorech Hashem et beit ha-mitzri biglal Yosef. Biglal, that means right along with. It's rolling along with you. You came into my life changed. Okay, Sir Richard. Old times, man, old times. Beirach ala yayin shalifnei Amazon, patarata yayin shala achar Amazon. Now, it used to be in those days, they knew how to live. Let me tell you something, man. So before the meal, first of all, there was always cocktail hour, okay? A little bit of cocktail hour before the meal. Then they served hors d'oeuvres. And so there was always a little bit of wine before the meal. Then you'd have to make a bracha. You haven't yet started the meal. You have to make a bracha on the wine. So then, of course, I mean, after the meal, obviously, you know, we need a little bit of cooling off and finishing up the Seuda with a flash. You know, so of course, we also had a post-Seuda cocktail hour, all right? So if you made that bracha on the wine, then after you've finished eating and it still haven't said Birkat HaMazon and you're serving now new wine, you don't have to make another bracha on that. You were yotze on that as well. Beirach ala parperet shelifnei HaMazon, and also if you made a bracha on the hors d'oeuvres, potar es parperet shelachar HaMazon, you also are going to be yotze for the things that you ate. Now, Rashi, when he said before the pata baba kiss, is very cute, because Rashi says that when they used to bring out these sweet doughs that they ate together with the kisnim, they were in the shape of birds and swans and fish. It's very, very cute. So again, they knew how to live. Let me tell you, there's a lot of aesthetic points as well. So if you potter that, which were part of your hors d'oeuvres before the meal, then you could potter it afterwards. But you should know that if you were mevorech al hapat, then anyway you would be mevorech all the things that are brought as dishes along with the pot, and you were potter the parperet. But if you make a bracha la parperet, you were not going to potter the pot. Because of this, Rashi understands that the parperet has got to be something that's made out of mezonos, because otherwise, what would be the havamina bichlal? So he learns it's talking about like the grits kind of thing that we had before. And you're not going to potter pot with that type of thing. Beit Shammai says, not even for Maisa Kedera. The Kedera is literally the grits that we had before, not like a kugel. Now, we don't know what Beit Shammai means. Not even. What not even? The part about being Bevarach al HaPat or the part about being Bevarach al HaParet? We're going to be talking about that in the Gemara. Hoyu Yoshvim, if all you were doing was sitting at a time in history when the norm of eating together was to eat like a mensch, you got yourself a couch, you lie down, and you have a little table that's brought in front of you. I mean, that's a meal, you know, and then after the meal, you get all of these drinks, you know, and then not only that, they burn incense, as we'll see later on. I mean, these were serious meals, man. So if you eat like some idiot sitting at a table, so then you're, that's not called together eating together. For all intents and purposes, everybody's sitting on the floor in a corner. And therefore, kol echad mevorech la'atzmo. You can't be yotze a brocha together. I mean, there's no eating together. If you lie down like a mensch on your couch together, so then hasebu, that's a kviyas asuda. And therefore, echad mevorech la'kulam. At that point, one person would be mevorech by hearing the other person, and that would be a greater kovet. So this was talking about both lifnei achila, like we do on Shabbos, where somebody makes the bracha al hapat, and the birkat hamazon. Now, obviously, today that our minhag is not to do the haseva, so the rishonim bring that for us. Yoshvim biyachad, sitting together on one table, is the equivalent of what hasava was in those days, and is sufficient to be koveya. Balahem Yayin Betoch HaMazon, if they brought wine in the middle of the meal and they hadn't had wine before at the beginning of the meal, so then you need to make a bracha. We don't want one person to be mevarek for everyone else for some strange reason. And because of that, the Gemara is going to figure out what that reason is. Kol echad v'echad mevarech la'atzmo. Everybody should make his own bracha on that wine. If the wine is brought after the meal and you're not in the middle of eating, then indeed, echad mevarech l'chulam, if you were sitting together, and that same person that finished up the meal by making the brachas on the cocktail, he also makes the bracha on the incense that you burn. So who omer halamu? Gemara, that's machlokas. We showed him over here whether we're talking about incense that was brought out before Birkat HaMazon, because normally it's brought out after Birkat HaMazon. Just understands that it means that in this particular case, they brought it out before. And so Mamela, the Mugmar is considered to be, it's called Mugmar. That's the point. It's Mugmar because it's the finishing touch of the meal. So the one who was Osek in the finishing cocktails, the post-meal hors d'oeuvres and cocktails, he's the one that should also finish up the bracha, even though it's a Birkas HaReach. He says the Mugmar. And this is true even though they brought out the Mugmar when the entire soda was finished, La'achar HaSoda. It would still be that guy that has the specific schus of making the bracha. Omer Abba Bar Bachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. This whole halacha, that when you say a bracha on the wine before the meal, potters the one after, that's talking about on Shabbos and Yontif. Because over there, the minig is indeed to have a lot of wine at the Suda and good drinks. So he knows when he said the bracha before the meal on the wine, he certainly has in mind that there's going to be a nice post-meal cocktail hour. Over there, you don't never know that you're going to need to have another cup of wine. So over there is Bevorech al kol kos v'kos, because it would be Nimlach. Itmar nami am rabba bomari mar bishop ben levi lo shon al shabbatot v'yomim tovim. We're over there. Or maybe even, as some learned, this was just thrown in over here by the postkin, b'shah shalom yotzimi beit amirchatz, b'shah takaz adam, times that people will always be drinking wine for health reasons. You came out of a hot bath, or you had a bloodletting. So over there, they used to drink wine in order to perk you up a little. Over there, over them, kaveyasu datala yayin, and your intent is to continue to drink wine the whole time. Then you'd have to be mevorech al kol kos v'kos. Rabba bar Mori came to Rava's house, and it was during the week. And he sees Rava making a bracha before the meal. And then after the meal, Rava went ahead, got wine, but he made a bracha on the wine. And he said, excellent, you did the right thing, even though it's against the Mishnah. It seems to be against the Mishnah, because you knew the pshat of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Namely, that the Mishnah was only talking about the type of sudas that people are kaveil ayayin like on Yontev and on Shabbos, and now it's chol. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef came to Abaya's house, and it was Yontev, and he sees Abaya doing the same thing that had been done b'chol in other homes, that he was mevarech on every single coast that they brought, even afterwards. Omar Leser, Rav Yitzchak says to him, what? I mean, you don't hold of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's psak? That on Shabbos and Yontev, you don't make a bracha on wine after the meal? Omar Leser, Abaya said to him, that may be true for other people. It's not true for me, because I personally, that doesn't look like wine, Barney. I'm not in the mood for some kind of nonsensical drink over there from beans. I'm interested in the real stuff, man. What kind of business is that? Give me something good. So he said to him, that may be good for other people, but Anna, Nimlach Anna, I don't like wine particularly. So when I go ahead and make a bracha, it's on... If I decided I'm going to have a little bit more wine, I usually actually drink the stuff that Barnea throws at you. But today I'm drinking wine, so I'm a Nimlach, and I'm going to make a brach on everyone. Himoilu. Now, the question was raised like this. How about if the wine comes in the middle of the meal? You didn't have wine at the beginning of the meal. Can the brach on the middle of the meal potter the wine that's going to be coming for cocktail hour after the meal before Birkat HaMazon? I mean, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, why not? I mean, why is it different than the meal, than the wine before the meal? Im timtzulomard, that doesn't it say Birkat HaLayan Shufnei HaMazon, Potter HaMayin Shalach HaMazon? No, it's not the same. I'll tell you why. Because wine that you drink before the meal is for the purposes of having a drink. When you drink it after the meal, it's for the purpose of having a drink. When you drink the wine in the middle of the meal, don't really set yourself up for a drink. That is wine that you drink in order to settle your stomach, and it's nice to have a little bit of wine flavor together with your meat or whatever you drink, but it's not the same thing as focusing on the wine. So maybe the case in the Mishnah where you made a bracha, whether you had wine before the meal, that's because zelishtot was zelishtot. But I'm asking you about a case where the wine after the meal was zelishtot, but the wine during the meal was lishrot. It was in order to be shored the achila. Maybe over there not. Maybe it doesn't really matter what the purpose is of the drinking. So Rav said, you do potter from the middle of the middle after the middle. Rav Kana says you don't. Rav Nachman says you do. Rav Shesha says you don't. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, and surprisingly, Kol Talmidei de Rav argue on Rav, and they say Eino Poter, from which Tosfos says, well, if Kol Talmidei de Rav say Eino Poter, it must be that they understood that Rav had changed his mind towards the end of his life, and because of that, they were paskening not like the earlier Pesach of Rav, and therefore that indicates that that's the way that we should pasken, because Halacha is like Rav. Eitvei Rav al Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says over here that you could be Yotzei the Brocha after the meal wine with the bracha in the middle of the meal wine. Doesn't it say in the Mishnah, Bolem Yayin Betocha Mazon, if wine comes in the middle of the meal, then everybody has to make a bracha for himself. And then Liachar Amazon, which I take to mean in the same case where there was wine in the middle of the wine, if there comes wine after the meal, then one person makes a bracha for all of them, but he has to make a bracha. Amalei, no. You're misreading the Mishnah. It's not Tapshat. The Mishnah is giving two different cases. If the wine came betoch hamazon, that was one case. Im lo balem yayin betoch hamazon, ela, now that's the second case, ela liachar hamazon, then echad mevarach lekulam. It's just coming to contrast whether everybody makes their own bracha or one guy is mevarach for everyone, but it's not a continuing case in which first you made a bracha and now it's the end of the meal and we're going to make another bracha. No. Okay, the next part of the Mishnah says, Birech al hapat patarat haparperet, al haparperet lo patarat hapat, and then Beit Shammai says something that's quite unclear. Af lo ma'aseh kedera. Now, what does that mean? Af lo ma'aseh kedera yiboyelohu. What was Beit Shammai referring to? Was Beit Shammai referring to the first part of the Mishnah, HaReisha Polig, and he's arguing about that? Or is he arguing on the safe? Let me explain. The Tana, if it means the first, so then we'll go like this. Tana Kama said, if you're mevorek al hapat, patara taparperet, and that means for sure you're going to pater maisa kedera, because maisa kedera is basically wheat that's been cut into two parts, or three, or four. Remember, we had the case before, what defines grits. And on that, Beit Shammai comes along to say, forget about it, man. Not only is it not going to pater parperet, which are things that are not at all like bread, it's not even going to pater maisa kedera. So, or maybe Beit Shammai was referring to the last part of the Mishnah, where it says in the last part of the Mishnah, if you make a bracha on parperet, you were not going to be able to pot to the pot, which means that, if you think about it, the implication is, we'll talk about why implications, it says beferish, patu de lo patar, avo ma'aseh kedera ken patar. So it's mashma that you would be pottering things that were made out of wheat, right? Comes on, Beit Shammai says, no. Afilo maisi kedera nami lo patar, not true. Even maisi kedera, you didn't eat either. So the question, of course, is the Mishnah said that beferish. I mean, why the heck does it say this? Because why the heck do you need to be medayik? Mashma that if you made the bracha on the parperet, you're patur. That's what it says, beferish in the Mishnah. So Tosfos says that maybe that would be about talking about a case. If it only said that in the Mishnah, I would say maybe the Mishnah is talking about a case where you were sitting together, not for the purposes of achila. I mean, you're having a business meeting, and then they brought things in to eat and so on. So maybe then you're not going to be yotzei. But if you sat down specifically, so then maybe you could be, like the case where you were meisav. Anyway, so what halacha l'maisa? What does Beit Shammai mean? Don't know. Take it. Okay, next part of the Mishnah goes, if you were sitting, then everybody's got to make a bracha. Because only if you're a sevu, then is it considered to be a kviyas. So mashma sevu ein. But if not a sevu, so then not, there's no way that one says a bracha for everybody else. The problem is that it says in a braita, asara shayochim baderech, 10 people walking along the road, even if they're all basically sharing food, they're all eating the same sandwich, everybody's got to make their own bracha. But if they sat down, then even if everyone's eating their own separate sandwich, one guy says the bracha, mashma that, not mashma, it's saying beferish yoshu, without hasevu. That's a contradiction to the Mishnah. Omrim Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that's talking about a case where they were koveya that place to be Yoshev. So they said they've been walking along, and they made the bracha. Everybody made the bracha for himself. And then they said, you know, this is fun. Why don't we go to the apple tree up ahead and all sit down together and finish up this picnic together? So that's what it's talking about. So over there, we'll go to that particular place. That is considered to be a kvias, because it's not just the yeshiva that's the kvias. It's the planning and the talking it out that makes that yeshiva the equivalent kvias for people on the road that a hatsava would be. When Rav was nifter, also Talmid of Basrei, so his Talmidim all went along with the mita to the other city where they were doing the kvura. And on their way back, they said, you know what? Why don't we go eat on the shores of the Danak River? So after they finished their meal, so Yasvi, they're sitting and they're thinking, so, okay, what do we do now? Do we have one person saying Birkas Hamazon for everybody, or do we say that since we weren't being Mesev, it's not considered to be a kvias? So when the Mishnah said Hasebo, does it mean that's the only case? Dafka Tanan, Avo Yashrulo, if you just sat together, that's not considered to be a kvias. Or since we spoke out, let's all sit down and eat, that ipso facto is ki Hasebo Dama. Nobody knew the answer. Oh my God, Rav Ada Bar Ava was so brokenhearted. He stands up, takes the beged that he had torn at the Hespit for Rav, turns it around, so that now he has a untorn beged, at least in front, and he tears again. And he said, this is insane. Rav was just nifter, and we idiots haven't even learned how to say Birkas Hamazon. What are we going to do now? Anyway, so they really didn't know what to do. Ada ata husaba, thank heavens, Eliyahu HaNavi always comes to the rescue in these horrible situations. Because remember, some say every time it says Usab is a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi. So he pointed out the contradiction of the Mishnah to the Braisa of the case where there were people that were on the road and they were eating from the same sandwich, that whole thing that we just brought. And he points out to them, "Nu, what are you going to do with this?" So then he points out to them that the only way to answer it is to say that the kvias of the Mokum is the equivalent of Hasevo. So Vishanulu, given the Amri Nezov and Echol Achma Beduch Plan, Kasevo Dami. And now, at least, you don't have to tear your hair out for missing on Rav.